Well, thank the Lord to be here again this morning and desire His will and always. Have a thought this morning. I appreciate the song that was sung, sitting there listening to it and thinking about the, you know, there's several things we can get out of a song, but typically there's a kind of a core message to it. And as we listen to that song, we hear a message of someone who was searching. And they could tell you a lot of things maybe about what they found. But there's a simple message that I found it all. You know, there's a message in, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about how Jesus has made everything to us. You know, you may have a lot of different needs this morning, and the Lord will take those needs one by one, and He'll address them, whatever your needs are. Whether you know Him or not, if you know Him, bring those needs to the Lord. If you don't, why don't you get to know Him? Because He can answer every single one of those needs. But here's the deal. There's not one of them that He can't. The Lord has everything you need this morning. If you're a child of God, be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. God's got everything you need, can meet every need. And if you're not a child of God, let me tell you, please, please come find the one who can meet every need in your life. You know, in Romans, there's quite a common verse in the third chapter of Romans that we hear. And we'll go over there and get it and start with that this morning. And before we do, little thing, y'all know God dealt with me that I needed to do each time before I open His Word. So we're going to take a moment and do that. Dear God, as we open Your Word, we want to confess, publicly confess before Your people that this is Your Word. It is not our word. We have no greater ability to understand it or disseminate it than anyone. Lord, there's none of us who are able to do that the way it needs to be done. But Lord, Your Holy Spirit is able. He's able to do what He desires to do if we allow You to. So this morning we allow You to. We ask You by Your Spirit to guide in everything that is said and done and help us to be able to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the third chapter of Romans and the 20th verse. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So those things that were there, that weren't sufficient, witness to something that's coming that is. And so it goes on and says, even the righteousness of God. So they pointed towards this moment when this would come. This righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. So there was a moment in time where there was the law and there was the prophets, and they manifested all the things that God intended for us to be. They spoke of those things. They taught of those things. But there was a lack that was there. Therefore, they didn't necessarily point to themselves as the end-all, be-all. The prophets didn't point to themselves as the end-all, be-all. The law does not point to itself as the end-all, be-all. It all points to Christ. He said in one place, He said, you have those things, and they all witness of Me. Just the person of who Christ is? It's more than that. It's everything that Christ was, everything that Christ brought to this earth, everything that His sacrifice enabled us to be. through his sacrifice, we have forgiveness of sins. Through his sacrifice, we have access to the Father. Through his sacrifice, we have access to the Holy Spirit. If any man believe on me, there'll be a well springing up in him, everlasting. He spoke of the Spirit. Through Christ, we have access to all these things. So the law and the prophet all pointed to that time, and now Christ has come. And he's brought all these things to us. We have everything we need through Christ to be what we should be in life. Are you thankful? I'm thankful. And I realize, here's the struggle. I mean, it encompasses all the struggles we have, but in this moment, here's the struggle. It said, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. We've just laid out the plan of salvation. The plan of God from the beginning, the law and the prophets, Christ came. He brought all these things to us. It's all available to us. Now, do you really believe? Do you believe that he can do those things? Do you believe when there's a lack in your life that Christ is able to meet it? Do you believe when there's a lack in your understanding? Do you believe that Christ is able to meet it? Do you believe that while he waits to meet that need in your life, he's able to sustain you and help you? In other words, Lord, I still don't understand. So I'm in a place where I feel like I need something more, but can you really keep me in this place? Is there something in me that's going to cause me to fail because you're not able to help who I am? Because of this or that that's happened in my life, or because this or that that I've done, or because of this or that that my mind has been programmed to believe that I just can't seem to shake. Lord, are you really able to keep me? You see, believe is so much more than just understanding what we just went through, that little bit of knowledge from the scriptures that we went through. It's so much more than that, because Jesus was not just a man. He was a Savior. He brought a new life. The words I speak to you, he said, they are life. They are spirit. They are life. There's something more than just understanding. Oh, how many times are there people of God and there's a failure because we're struggling living in our own understanding and not living in belief. I don't mean to throw your understanding away. I mean to let your understanding be a foundation for your belief in Christ, who is able to do all things. Oh, you know, I don't know your life, so I cannot comparatively make a statement. But I can tell you that this has been a struggle for me. It was from day one to take hold of my insufficiencies and my failures and my inability to accomplish what I know is the truth. And to come to a point where I really comprehended and could understand that, Lord, even though I have these struggles, even though I have these lack of understandings, even though I have understanding and I have, how are we going to implement that in my life, Christ? That you can do it in my life. And until you do it to the place where I feel like it's finally done, that's what it really is. We're like, okay, well, it's not done yet. Well, it's like, yeah, everything needs to be done. At this point is, you're submitting to me, but we have this struggle in ourselves. But done means this, and I'm not there yet in that situation. Lord said, I got you. I got you. It's kind of like when Daniel was praying to the Lord, and the Lord wasn't coming, and finally the angel came, and he said, Daniel, I heard you from the start, and I've been in the process of taking care of everything that was necessary to get to this point and to be here, where you can truly see the answer to your prayers. Be encouraged this morning, wherever you are and whatever you're going through. If you are truly putting that in the Lord's hands and saying, Lord, will you do something with this? Will you help me? Then the Lord's at work. You maybe can't see it. Be willing to yield to Him. Be willing to allow Him to have that space. Oh, it's so important. It's one of the places where belief enables us to be what we're supposed to be, because when we don't see it happening, or whatever the situation is, whatever's going on in our life, when we have such a struggle and we want to see this victory accomplished and we're still struggling with it, what do we do? Well, one of the things that happens is people lose faith. They lose hope. They lose all of the things that keep us in Christ and keep us depending on Him. Don't lose faith. Don't lose hope. Not in what you think it's going to be, but hope in Christ. Lord, I have all these things I think need to happen, or I believe need to happen, but I got this trust and I got this belief in You that You know what needs to happen. Because my righteousness is not accomplished by my understanding. It's not accomplished by my ability. It's not accomplished by my comprehension. It's not, you know, honestly, I don't want to get you the wrong idea, because we need to be a determined people, but it's not accomplished by my determination. It's accomplished by Christ. My ability to have a belief in Christ that won't let me turn away. That won't let, no matter how things appear, no matter what the situation appear in my life, and Lord, I really feel like this should have been different by now. Even if it should have been, do I have enough belief in Christ to know that if I've been messing it up this whole time and He's going, oh, got to build that again. Got to be, you know, trying to build a little block building with a 2-year-old sometimes. You've got a goal and it gets about this far and boom, it gets knocked over. All right, let's try it again. It gets knocked over. Even if that's the situation, do you have enough belief in Christ that He can say, okay, wait a minute. Your hands are getting in the way. Put them down and we'll get this thing finished. What do you have that much belief and confidence in Christ? Or is there something still in you that feels like somehow it's based on something of yours being sufficient to accomplish His righteousness? Lord, help us this morning. God is able. Every single thing we need, God can do it. But we have to have that faith in Him that understands that not only is He the one that's able to, but even my ideas can be what's in the way sometimes. My ideas of what that should look like. Give it all to God. Give every bit of it to God this morning. And put your faith in Him to be able to do what is necessary, because your righteousness is not accomplished through your own abilities. It's accomplished through Christ in you. Now, some people take that statement and they go, "Wee, I'm just going to go do whatever I want to and Christ makes me righteous." No, that's not what was just said. It's not accomplished through your own abilities. It's accomplished through Christ having you giving Him freedom completely in your life to have control and to do whatever is necessary and to trust Him for that in your life. It's so much deeper and it requires so much more than just believing, just acknowledging He's there. It takes a life of submission to His will in every way, even in my ideas of how it should look like. I still have to submit those to Him and allow Him to work. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've had your shot. Do we take it that way sometimes? Because we take it this way as, you know, some people say, well, that means we all sinned, which is true. At some point in life, we've all sinned. Some people take it further and say other things with that verse. But what it means is, amongst other things, is that you've had your shot. You had your chance at it. We proved that it can't be done through us. We proved it can't be done. Let me ask you a question, and maybe this is true for you. And I think maybe it happens sometimes. But not to raise your hand or anything. But before you got delivered, was there any effort on your part to try to do what you knew you ought to do? Did anyone live that kind of life? Like, you're like, you got these things working inside of you, this conviction's on your heart. Like, I'd like to get this thing care of. I think I'll try to do some of the things I was supposed to do. Maybe you didn't. That was kind of my story. So I'll just testify for myself. Well, I'll prove something. I proved I'm not going to get it done in and of myself. I proved it very well. The case would stand in any court before any judge. Brandon, you proved it. It's not going to happen through you. But you know what Christ proved? You know what Christ proved? By grace are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. For it is Christ that worketh. It is Christ. I'm getting a couple of verses mixed up there, and I apologize for that. But y'all know that's a truth that's in the Bible in those words. And I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith. Son of God who gave his life for me. Okay, Lord. No. You see what's happening here. Oh, there's so many things that happen. But one of the things when God delivers us and then we still kind of handle this thing ourselves. And our desperation for God and Christ kind of wanes a little bit. And we kind of start living our own little lives over here based on our own little impressions of what it means to be righteous and what, well, I couldn't quite accomplish that, so maybe it means this in my life. That's what we do sometimes. Maybe it means this. Maybe it means this. Look, the Lord knows what it means. Learn to just submit to Him. That's the only way it's going to happen. It's not going to happen by me coming up with some form of righteousness that I managed to accomplish in my life. Y'all, God's done a lot of things, but if He leaves me today, it's not going to be what it needs to be. There's wisdom, there's knowledge, there's strength, there's power. There's so many things that God has to show me that I need Him daily in my life. And if He wasn't there, I mean, physically, I couldn't stand here. Can we not apply that spiritually? I couldn't stand here physically without the Lord giving me the strength to stand here. How do I think I'm going to stand spiritually without a dependence on God? It's not going to happen, no matter how good it looks. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be what it's supposed to be. It's not going to be deliverance. God came for deliverance. He came that I'm no longer bound. Oh, and I hear songs about that, and I just wonder, do people really, are they singing that with chains still hanging on their body, so to speak, spiritually? I'm afraid sometimes there's people, sometimes maybe we should just say we, as the human race, are singing those songs, and there's still chains hanging on our body, because we're not really given to the Lord to see the deliverance that God can give us. We think, well, I'm not an alcoholic. You know, if you're an alcoholic, God can deliver you. But if you're an impatient person, God can deliver you too. You know, impatience can lead you to sin. It may not be sin, but it can lead you to sin. Lord, I'm not bound by drugs. God can deliver you if you've got drugs. But you know what? Anger can lead you to sin. There are chains that hang on us that we don't give any attention to because they're not the obvious external things. They only flare up every once in a while. Most of the time I keep them under wraps, and so it's not a problem. You don't have to be bound, and God's intention is that you're not bound. But we got to live with this realization that as these things come and they're not there all the time. I don't always see them. I don't always comprehend them. But then something happens and I see, Lord, I have a problem. There's still something down in me that needs help. There's one more nation in this land of Canaan that's still there, evidently. I got a feeling there's some more after them, but the one I can see is this one. I came over the rise and whoa, there's a whole walled city here all of a sudden. Lord help me. I need you. We didn't win any of those battles back there. All that ground that my foot trod on and you said is mine now, and it is. You've proven it to me. I didn't win them by my righteousness. I didn't win. I've proven I couldn't do it. But you've proven you can if I'm yielded to you. So Lord, here we are in another city. We're not going to take this one like Ai. We're not going to run on down here and because we've won the battle so many times go, all right, I got this one. You know what you're going to prove again? You can't do it. It's a simple truth. But you know the thing about truth is truth never fails. You challenge it and it'll reveal itself as truth again in your life. So don't challenge it. You come over the rise and you see another nation. Do y'all get what I'm saying? Practically, reality, situations arise. Is it anger that you struggle with? What is it that leads you to sin? What is the thing that's you're bound by in life and the situation arises and you realize there's still a pull here. I won a lot of victories, but there's still something here down deep. You come over that rise, you see that nation. It's time to stop and say, okay, Lord, have mercy. Help me. Show me what to do. Show me how to handle this situation. You know, one thing I found, and we just really said it right there in what we said without saying the word. It's hard to walk with the Lord and have a pride in ourselves. To have any form of pride in ourselves. The verse in Habakkuk that says, the just shall live by faith, and it ties to it. And I think I've said this before, I know, but it just was such an epiphany to me in my life. It says, but he whose soul is lifted up in him, it's not right within him. Right there with that. What's the connection? Every time we come over the rise, you know what? If you're going to have victory, one of the first things you have to do is just humble down before the Lord. Lord, this is my land. It's nobody else. We didn't get off course here and cross the border and we're in somebody else's land. This is my land. This nation sits right here in my land. It's me. You know what else, Lord? Lord, if you're not with me, this nation's going to conquer me. It's going to take back over. And you know what all this ground back here is going to be? Room for it to expand. All the victories I've won, if I go off and try to take this on my own, I'm just making room for this nation to start expanding in my life. Because I've already cleared the ground. If I fall here, what is it to defend this ground? This is my ground. It's just going to start spreading again. Lord, I don't want to do that. So I'm humbling down again before you and saying, Lord, I confess also that it's not by my grace and it's not by my power and not by my might, but it's by your spirit that we're going to have this victory. You're going to win this battle through my life. And Lord, I don't know what you're going to do. You may have me march around the wall 7 times. I'd sure like to just walk up, see everything just disappear and walk right on through this place. But you know what, Lord, if that's not what you choose to do, it's in your hands. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to seek you and I'm going to fight this battle in every way that you show me to fight it. You know, let me give you some practical examples. Some of the way that I've come to these places in my life and I've seen maybe pride rise up or anger rise up or lack of self-control rise up. And I've had to say no to myself. What did Paul say in one place? He said, I keep myself under. That literally means I beat myself down. Not so much in a way of just damaging my psyche. You know how we talk about people being beat down. But I do what's necessary to hold myself under and say, no, this is not something that's okay in my life. It's not all right because I've come this far, because I have this much. You know, that's what Israel did. We've come this far, man, we're good. And they left nations there in the land and they became a thorn in their side. We're not going to do that, Lord. Lord, this is me and it needs to be conquered. Because it's going to lead me, it's going to overwhelm me if I don't allow you to take control of this in my life and help me to win this battle. So Lord, I'm going to tell myself no. This is not just okay to stay here in my life. And I'm going to seek you. You know, it's not about perfection. It's about His redemption. And in His redemption, we are perfected. You know, that's what the devil tries to get. We win so many battles and then we get this image of we got to make sure people know our land's clear. Your land's not clear. This morning, your land's not clear. You know how I know that? Not because I see anything in your life, but you know how I know your land's not clear, that there's still some nations to conquer? I think I heard somebody say it. You're still living. Every one of you is breathing this morning and sitting here. As long as we live, this is the path the Lord has for us. This is the land of sanctification. This is why the Holy Spirit came, because there was a work to be done in us to remove these things. As we move on through the land, conquering the land, that we remove these nations out of our land. So it's not about your perfection. Don't let Satan trap you in that. I've come this far. I've come to this place. Now I got to make sure people know I've been perfected. Don't get trapped in that. It's about His redemption, His sanctification, His Holy Spirit perfecting us as we walk with Him into each battle, into each new place where there's another nation to be conquered. It's not that we're walking around. You know, when they walked around the city of Jericho, they walked around 7 times. And you know what happened? The walls fell. They conquered it. They didn't walk around Jericho again. They had that victory. Now they might have come to the next wall city and goes, oh, this looks like Jericho. It's not. It may look a lot like it. It may, but this is another city and it's another one to be conquered in your life. This is the life of sanctification that we live. If you're living and breathing, there's still some nations to be conquered. Move forward with courage and don't let the devil trap you in this idea that I can't go fight this battle because I'm supposed to be perfect. Fight the battle. It's about His redemption perfecting us. It's exactly what the Lord is doing in us. It says, Matthew 15. And we have some people that, you know, honestly, it seems like this is kind of what they were doing. It's about our perfection. It's about the perfection we're able to establish and maintain. Whatever level that is, that's what's sufficient in our life. Can even be born of maybe some good intentions, but it's error. It's error, and it's part of what caused the Pharisees to be where they were. There was no doubt some who were just hypocritical and wanted a religious image. But there were a lot who were not hypocritical. Paul wasn't hypocritical, but he was living a life based on his perfection. What level could he get to? And what level could he maintain? Do you see what all it caused him to do in his life? Y'all think we're different? Now, physically, we may not have the ability to go out and end people's lives or throw them in prison, but the Spirit's the same. The Spirit that trapped Paul because of he began to live by his own perfection is the same Spirit that traps us today if that's what we begin to do. We begin to live by our own perfection and we're going to be hailing people to prisons. Maybe not physically, but that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be pushing people under. Resisting, what does it say? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks, resisting the Spirit. We're going to be resisting the Spirit if we start living by our own perfection. Lord, help us. But here they are. It says, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples... I'm sorry, it's not Matthew. That's a good passage right there and could have led into what we're talking about because it's some of the same things. But I don't think, and if I missed it and God wanted us to really read that, then y'all forgive me. You read it later. But John 15 is where we wanted to be. This is Jesus speaking, and this is what we've been trying to share. I feel like this is a burden. Here it is. He is the true vine. We're not vines. We are not able to establish ourselves. We must be attached to Him. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. You know, you begin to live by your own perfection, and you're going to stop bearing fruit. Your fruit's going to die because you disconnected yourself from the source of life. If it's just you, if it's about you and about your abilities, then you're disconnecting yourself from the source of life and the source of righteousness. All right? So it says, every branch that bringeth not fruit, He taketh away. Here's the rest of it. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Oh, I've got some fruit on my limbs. Oh, I must be a fruit tree. Let me just go show people what a good fruit tree I am. You're not a fruit tree. You're a branch of the vine. And if you start living like you're a fruit tree, you're going to stop bearing fruit. And truthfully, you're disconnecting yourself from the vine. But it says the Father will disconnect you and He will remove you. Don't live by your own perfection. Don't fall in that trap. It says, but every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. This word purge here means He cleanseth it and He prunes it. Thank the Lord. Lord, I need help. Yeah, you do. It's all right. You're attached to me, and you're right. Here's some more work we're going to do. Here's some more pruning and cutting off we're going to do. And you know it's going to be the result of this, of the Father perfecting us? You're going to bear even more fruit. That part where we're like, oh, Lord, it's all falling apart because there's still a nation here, and I'm just not. And the Lord's saying, no, hold on. Just let me take care of it. Let me cleanse and purge and watch what happens. Don't lose hope here. Don't give up here. You're right where you need to be. If that's how you feel, you're right where you need to be because you're doing the first thing. You have to acknowledge this is my land. We try sometimes to say, well, it must be, you know, it's just other people. It's just their impressions. It's just the forces they're putting me under. No, this is your land. Don't be discouraged. God's working in you. Let Him work. Let Him purge. Let Him cleanse. Because that's how you're going to let Him bring forth more fruit in your life. And when He comes around checking, He's like, well, I don't even have to get close. Look at all that fruit on that life. I'm going to work on it a little more. There's still some things there, but that looks good. That's doing what it's supposed to do. It says, purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. And I think that we want to be encouraged that is God's desire in your life. And I'm thinking as we get older, you know, we're young, we're like, yes, let's get forward. Let's go forward here. Let's bear some fruit. And we get older and we're like, well, maybe my work's kind of done. No. God's got some things He wants to do through you. Even if you're just coming to Christ as an older person, God's got some beautiful things to do. His fruit is beautiful whenever it comes. It's beautiful in your life. Be encouraged to let God expand. You know, He cuts away and prunes those branches so it'll expand and bear even more fruit. Let God do that in your life. Be encouraged this morning that that's His desire. Now are you clean through the word which I've spoken in you? You know, you're where you need to be. And I don't mean just here in this chapel today, but if you're where you're listening to the Lord and you're listening to His word, then you're where you need to be because there's not another cleansing agent. You know, I remember a little skit me and Amber and the children did when we were in COVID and couldn't meet. One of the things God gave us to do was to do some skits together that were based around teachings from the Bible. And one of them was about this agent, cleansing amazing. And everything you sprayed it on, it cleaned. And there came a point where all of a sudden, one of us that was doing it said, my heart, oh, there's something here. And tried spraying that on that, and it didn't work. And somebody else said, I don't think it works that way. It doesn't. There's not another cleansing agent. The Word of God is what can cleanse you. It's what can, if you're taking in the Word, then you're taking in what is necessary. The agents that God needs by His Spirit to come along and work within your life. That's why it says Spirit and truth. We must worship Him in Spirit and truth. And you'll find even more scriptures in the Bible that connect those two things. If you're taking in the Word, if you've got an importance on it, then you're giving God the cleansing agent that He needs with His Spirit to do the work in your life that needs to be done, to bear more fruit. If you're not taking in the Word, you're taking in, you can get all around the Word, but if you're not taking in the Word, then there's, the Spirit comes along, there's, what do I have to work with? Well, you got this, Lord, and you got this, you got these ideas, they don't work. That's why there was a cleansing laver before you come into the temple. Because all those other things need to be washed away. We need to be washed in the Word. This is now what cleanses us. There's not something else that's going to do it. No matter how good a philosopher or ideas or thoughts are out there, the Word is what the Spirit uses to cleanse in our life. What does it say? The Word is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder even to the dividing of the bone and the marrow. It wasn't one of the things that does that. It's the only thing that can do that in our life. So take in the Word. All right, it says, abide in me and I in you. Do we understand what it means to abide in Jesus? There's a song in our book, 202. It says, I have learned the wondrous secret. You know, we see this, we're like, abide in Jesus, okay? All right, that's a great word. If we don't get a hold of what it really means, then we can see the word and not practice it in our life. It's not going to work because these words are to be applied for them to work, okay? And so this song says, I've learned the wondrous secret. It is a secret, but it's right here for us to understand. Of abiding in the Lord. I have found the strength and sweetness of confiding in His Word. Confide. What is it that you need every morning to get started? What is it that you need through your day? What is it that sustains you? Y'all, this has a very practical application in our lives. If the Word's not that important to you, then it's not important enough. If the Word's not that necessary to you, then it's not necessary enough. It's okay to be desperate for some Word, to have a thirst. It's the nature, it's truly what the nature of your soul is. If you're not thirsting, it's not because the soul isn't really thirsty, it's because you're trying to supplement it with other things. The Word is necessary in our lives for us to abide in Jesus. I have tasted life's pure fountain. I'm drinking of His blood. I have lost myself in Jesus. This is part of abiding in Jesus. Here I am. Here's what I do. Here's how I act. Here's what I... You're going to have to change that. I have to change that. You have to change that to abide in Jesus. I have lost myself in Jesus. It is no longer I, but He, it says, I believe somewhere else in this, that just came to my mind. I am crucified with Jesus. I'm crucified with Christ, and yet I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. What that all means is that I put my life in a place where I'm looking for God and Jesus to take over and be who He was in my life. As I come to places where I don't look like Jesus, that's not okay with me. It's not okay with me not to look like Jesus. I know that I'm going to come over a mountain here, maybe in a few days, maybe tomorrow, maybe today, and I'm going to see another nation in my life. It's not okay It's not okay with me not to look like Jesus. As he shows me more and more, you know what my heart's desire is? Lord, please take this away from me. This is who I am. Lord, I don't want to be myself. I want to be you. So now help me, Lord, to be what you would have me be. Change me. I'm a new creature in you, Lord. Make me a new creature. Don't let this thing have control over me. It's not supposed to have control over me. You have the power that it doesn't have to have control over me. So, Lord, show me how to win this battle in my life. You read, just as a side, and you may have read through the Old Testament, they won their battles a lot of different ways. They didn't have a certain way they went into battle. Well, they did. They said, Lord, how do we go into this one? And there's a lot of different ways they won battles, all kinds of ways. Lost myself in Jesus. I've ceased from all my struggling because it's no longer I but he. All my will is yielded to him. All my will is yielded to him, and his spirit reigns within. His precious blood each moment keeps me cleansed and free from sin. All my cares I cast upon him, and he bears them all away. All my fears and griefs I tell him, all my needs from day to day. All my strength I draw from Jesus. By his breath I live and move. E'en his very mind he gives me, and his faith and life and love. Your love not enough this morning? It's not, but Christ can give you his. Is your life not enough? Christ can give you his. His faith, your faith not enough, Christ can give you some faith. All right? You know, when they asked him to increase their faith, how did the Lord do that if he wasn't able to take what was his and give it to them? There's something there for us to understand and get a hold of. What are you lacking? Christ has it, and he can give it to you this morning. For my words, I take his wisdom. Well, this just happened, and I'm going to wait, and I'm going to see what the Lord would have me to say. I'm going to listen to him. For my works, his spirit's power. For my ways, his gracious presence guards and guides me every hour. Of my heart, he is the portion of my joy, the ceaseless spring. Savior, sanctifier, keeper, glorious Lord and loving King. That sounds like somebody is not just living their own life, but they found the secret of abiding in Jesus. All right? So, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gathered them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Do you see this morning? It's not, Lord help us. Oh, that he deepens us and we can just see so clearly. Lord, all this it promises that when something happens in life that I don't like, health, situation, I can pray and you change it. Now, God can do that. But all this happens so that when I come over the rise, I see what really matters. I see that next nation in my life. I say, Lord, I have some needs. Lord, help me. Help me. Do you know God will never fail you? He will answer every prayer every single time when that's the way we're living, when we're abiding in Jesus. So this morning, our burden for you, the song says, I found it all when I lost everything and gave my life to serve a risen King. Now, I'm not talking to you just as a sinner. I think we probably, saints outweigh sinners here, probably. I don't know. I probably shouldn't even say that, but I've got pretty good confidence that saints outweigh sinners here this morning. For one thing, Friday morning, not a lot of sinners going to be found in a place like this. But whether you are or you aren't, Jesus is all you need. He's what you need in your life. Don't be afraid to come down and pray. Don't be afraid to pray. I'm not trying to say you got to do it here. What I'm saying is, don't be afraid to pray. Don't sit here and battle in your own perfection. Let the Lord redeem all that concerns you, whatever it is in your life. Let Him have control. And you know what? Don't worry abiding in your own self and your own abilities. Let it go. Just throw it away. Throw it away and abide in Jesus.